Such a good job, such good worship. Oh, just prepares our hearts. Draw near, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you, says the Lord. There's something that really has grieved me for a long time, and I know that it's grieved others as well, is kind of the powerlessness that we're experiencing right now. Powerlessness. That our words are not getting it done. That we're not seeing. We're seeing some things. We're seeing some healings. We're seeing some deliverances. We're seeing some restorations. We're seeing some people drawn up from the ditch that they were in. But nothing like what I think it should be. There is a stirring in my spirit that says, no, there's more. There's more, there's more, there's more. And that's what we're looking for, is that more. And it's all about drawing near to Him. And that's the call of the Father right now. Fathers love when their kids draw near to them. Fathers often watch from a distance, and they're loving and caring. But when the kids turn to the dads, then the dad wants to be there and wants to get it done. Wants to enjoy the presence of the child. And our Heavenly Father is wanting that very much right now. There's so many teachings out there right now about the Father and fatherhood. And what the Father is doing in the moment. And Jesus said, you want to know the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. He came to reveal the Father.
Yes, Jesus.
And 2,000 years, we've been we're still waiting for the revelation, but I think there's a tide turning right now.
Amen.
Where
Jesus.
We're starting to see yes. How good and how wonderful and how fatherly God is, and how much He cares. And so He says, what I want you to do right now is draw near, draw nigh. Not be so caught up in our techniques and systems that we forget that God looks at the heart, exactly what Ruth was saying. God looks at the heart and not upon the words. We want to have just the right words at just the right time. Our systems have to be just so, because that's the world we live in. If you do it in such and such an order, it's going to work. Oh, it didn't work this time. I must have had something out of order. The thing that's out of order is our hearts, collectively. Our hearts. Our words are with Him, but our hearts are far from Him. Our hearts have been stolen by things that are about us, by the commercialism that we see around us, by so many things that want to take our attention away. If we're to have power, it's in the presence of the Lord. And it's a heart relationship that's going to get us that power. Heart relationship with the Lord. And that's an individual thing. Drawing nigh to God indicates a progression. There is a kind of a distance that we travel. And you can be traveling along, but then you can stop at that place and someone else can keep drawing nearer and nearer. And so, you know, He's calling us to draw near to Him, because that's what it's all about. It's about the relationship between you, me, and him. Us and him. It's not about how we're performing, how much we're accumulating, how much technical knowledge we have, how many books I've read about him or what he's done. It's all about us and him. And I got to confess to you that I have an agenda. I have an agenda, and it's out there. I want to get you closer to him. I want to, that's where my preaching goes. That's what I want. I want to build this relationship. We can preach to you about all sorts of sundry things, wonderful things. But the most important thing to me is about presence. Presence is about being with him. Psalm 91 is my go-to psalm. It was the first one I memorized, and I got to tell you that anytime I'm not sure where to go in the Bible, I go here. And his heart is so that we would dwell in this. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." He who dwells in the shelter, that shelter is a special place, a nook, an alcove, a secret place it's referred to as. A secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty. Now, that's something that's interesting there, isn't it? Because if everybody knows it, it's not a secret anymore. Right? It's common knowledge. But God's calling each of us individually to a secret place. That place that just you and he are in. Corporate meetings are delightful. Like we get to a place in worship in here on Sunday mornings that I just can't get to on my own. But there is a secret place where I meet with God. And it's there that I connect with him. And it's there that you can connect with him too. A secret place. He talks about it in Song of Psalms 2:14. Song of Songs is this loved and beloved, this relationship between lovers, and it says, "O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff." Now, crannies doesn't sound like a neat place to meet somebody. At least it doesn't to me. But it's been translated as stairs, you know, in that the place of stairs, a place a place of ascending. But at kind of the foot of that place, there's an alcove. There is a secret little place that you can get into. And he calls us in that intimacy. That's his heart for us, to be intimate with him. And you know what? It is your heart too. There is something that is unsatisfied, and you will be driven toward other things, trying to answer the call of that secret place. So here in Song of Songs, he's telling us to meet him there through this couple. Exodus 33:20. You can turn there or not, but there he's talking about God and Moses. There's some people that really connected with God in the Old Testament. Moses is one of them. David is another. They got to this place in God that was, eons ahead of the people around them. Moses spent 40 days with them. And he wanted God to show him his glory. And so he says, there's a place in the cleft of the rock, there's a little place in the hillside here. And it says, by me. Like right beside me, there is a place. And I'm going to put my hand over your face and I'm going to pass by you. And that's a whole another series of sermons. He wanted to show him his glory and he showed him his goodness. His goodness is his glory. So there's this place by me that we can go to together. Close proximity. And I'll show you my glory. It's so delightful and so absolutely wonderful. But back to Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Most High there is El Elyon. The word is highest of the high. King of kings. Like he's higher than any other being. He is the penultimate. He is King of kings. He is the top of the heap. The cream of the crop. Be with him. And that God wants to meet with you.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Not the prime minister. Not the president. They're lowly. This is a high calling. This is the highest calling. This is the most amazing thing. You have a personal invitation to spend time with the one. The one. Would you pass it up? Will you put it off to another day? Will you be just too busy for him? If our prime minister called you and said, I want to spend just half an hour with you while I'm out in the West Coast, would you put aside a little time? I bet you would take the time, even if you don't like his politics. You would do it because it's an honor. Because you might actually have, there's something to say that might sway him, that might move him. But someone more powerful is inviting you to that place. He who dwells. Now that word dwells is actually in the Hebrew, it has a connotation of he who chooses to dwell. He who chooses to dwell. There is a place in us that he wants us to make the choice to be with him. To not do it because I know it's important, but to do it because we want to. Because it's such a delightful thing. I want to be with you. And he says, well, I want to be with you too. I've made you so many invitations. Why don't you answer one? He who makes a choice to stay in, to remain in, to inhabit, to abide. The word also means to marry.
Wow.
Who makes a choice to be there with me. It's so easy to slide out of that place. Not out of the love of God, but out of that place of intimate communion. There are so many distractions, and he calls us to be with him. Getting to it is one thing, staying in it is another, but You know, he wants us to be in his presence all the time. That's that's the amazing thing about God. So easy to forget that your highest calling is to stay in that presence. And it's totally possible. Here's something absolutely astounding. You think that things aren't good with you in some way, in your body, in your finance, whatever it is. You know, the showbread, that's what they called it, the bread that they would take into the tabernacle and then later into the temple. But the bread that they put in the temple, right? It wasn't just one loaf was there forever and ever. Amen. Because this loaf was to be eaten by the priests. And this loaf would be taken in, fresh baked, and placed. It was called, actually, it's called showbread, but it's also called the bread of the presence. And you want to know why it's called the bread of the presence? Because they would take it in on the Sabbath. So one Saturday, they bake it up. The night before is taken in fresh, you know, just squeezy and smelling wonderful. Oh, so good. And you know what? No GMOs. No additives or preservatives. And there is the point. No preservatives, because they didn't eat it until the next Saturday. Have you ever had fresh bread and left it uncovered for a couple of days? You can pet it after a while. There's so much mold on it and fuzz. You know? It goes very quickly. This was before preservatives. And so they would put it out there, and for a week it would sit there. And they would eat it the week later. And the tradition says that it was the best bread that they ever had. Wow. That the priests looked forward to eating it every day. Wow. They wanted to get to be the one who could do that. Because that bread was special. Why was it special? The presence. In the presence, not only did it not deteriorate, but it actually soaked up some of him. Wow. It actually was in the presence of God, and it soaked up something of him. Moses was in his presence for 40 days, and his countenance, his face shone so brightly that the people couldn't look at him. Please cover it up. And he wasn't aware of it. Because he was in the presence of God. There is something about that presence of God that preserves and makes better the thing that's in there or the person that's in there. So how does the bread get better than when it was baked? Like, I've never had bread like that. But to be able to eat it and know that you're eating the presence of God in physical form, that's one of the reasons that Jesus gave us bread to eat at the communion. It's his bread and his presence. And it is so powerful and so wonderful when we get to take it. But the presence is what makes the difference there. Ah, soaking up his presence. When the priests ate it, they were renewed themselves. His presence was enough to make sure that everybody had no infirmities. None of the people who were moving through the wilderness had any infirmities, because his presence was with them the whole time. His presence. You think you're creaky? You think you're not, you got an ache or a pain, or you need a job, or something that is necessary in your life, it's answered in the presence. That's where it all happens.
Jesus.
In the presence. And in the presence, there is fullness of joy. Like, that's enough to call you to the place. But add to that, that you will be made physically better. I'm not talking just spiritually. Bread is a physical item. And it is made better. It doesn't deteriorate at all. It's made better in His presence. You will be made better, more whole, more wonderful, in His presence as well. In His presence.
Thank you, Lord.
That's so cool. So he who chooses to dwell in that secret place of the Most High, El Elyon, the highest of high, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That abide there is automatic. It has an automatic connection to it. It's an if-then. If you will do this, then it will happen. That's a, you know, we understand it in computer programming language, in an if-then. If this happens, then that happens. And in here, it's an automatic. If you will dwell in that place, in the shelter of the Most High, you will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You will abide. You will stay, and you can live there forever. If you choose, then it will happen. To be under the shadow of the Almighty means you have to be close, right? I have a tree in my backyard. Are you in the shadow of that tree right now? No. It's a little tree, so you have to be really close. You have to be close. And so if you're close to Him, you know that everything's going to be different. You know that you're going to be taken care of. You know that it's going to be wonderful. You're in the shadow. So even if it's a big tree, you still have to be within 20 or 30 feet of a tree to be under the shadow. So close that you can make a dash for it. And the picture he makes here is, as we look down, is he will, under his wings you will find refuge in verse 4. The picture of a hen who just spreads her wings just a little bit. Jesus said, when he was coming into Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to take you under my wings. Right? That's the same picture. And the picture is, I know the Bobbicks have chickens, and the little chicks, when they hear a hawk makes a scree kind of as it's diving, as it starts to dive. And as soon as a chicken, a hen hears that, she makes a little cluck, cluck sound, and all the little guys are underneath right away. And so because they're close, they get under. If one of them was way far away and the cluck, cluck came, they're liable to be lunch for some evil hawk. But there is a closeness that we get with Him that comes from this place, comes from abiding in Him. Comes from being with Him, making the choice to be with Him. It's a place by me. That picture of what He did with Moses was, there's a place here in the cleft of the rock. There is a place by me for you. And there is a place for us. And so if we look at this psalm, he who dwells, he who chooses to dwell in the shelter or secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so when we read some of the other things, that you won't be anxious. But it takes us to those places. Nothing will touch you. It's an if then. If you're there, then this is what you can expect. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I got to tell you, I can tell when we're in prayer who gets to those places and who doesn't. Praying a list of things or preaching a sermon to God in prayer are the people that may spend great amounts of time in prayer, but they don't connect. The ones that I can tell have been with Him are the ones that get in there and then they say, oh Lord, I had a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you about, but now that I'm here, you're just so amazing. And I forgot what they were. And I know you'll take care of them, but wow, you're so good. Wow, you are so wonderful. It's that connection that He wants. The one that says, you know what I need. What kind of a daddy would I be if every night when I went to tuck in my kids, they said to me, Daddy, tomorrow can I have some food? I might need some water too. And a place to sleep tomorrow night? Would that be okay with you? Needs are taken care of. A daddy takes care of needs. At night when I'm intimate with them, I want to hear about, Daddy, I want that horse. Daddy, someday I want to be a brain surgeon. When I hear that, I'll do everything I can as a dad to make that happen. Stuff that may seem just out of line and out of the way, but it's because we're intimate. They don't have to ask me for their needs because it's my job to provide it. It's my job because I'm like my Heavenly Father. And so we assume that I'm going to provide those things. My kids never asked me for food for the next day, even though often we didn't have food in the cupboard. They never made sure the night before that they'd have enough to drink the next day. They never, ever had to do that. There was always provision for what you need. Always. And our Heavenly Father is greater, 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 greater than we could imagine. Those needs are there for us. But it's the intimacy that takes us to the, I want, Lord, I dream of. And it's usually those things that He's stirred in our hearts. He's placed them in our hearts, desires of our hearts. Because He is so good. And He wants us to enjoy this life that He's given us. Verse 3, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from traps that are laid for you. Doesn't mean you won't fall into the trap. You know, we stumble along all the time. And we get into stuff that is of our own stupidity. But He'll deliver us from that. The trap that the enemy has laid for us. And that we're unassuming and we go along and whack, we're in this trap. But He'll deliver us from those things. I got myself into it, I'll get myself out. I heard Pastor Samuel say that this morning in the first service. And it was a good thing. Well, you don't have to get yourself out. Your daddy will be there. He will deliver you from the fowl of the snarer, from the snare of the fowler, and from the deadly pestilence. Amen. He will cover you with His pinions. That's His feathers. That picture of a hen. And under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. A buckler is a thing that will, you know, covers you, covers your back even, you know. He will cover your back. You will not fear the terror of the night. God is an awesome God. But I often talk about him like the there was a movie years ago called The Bear, a grizzly. Anyone that faces a grizzly is afraid. But the cub of the grizzly thinks that the grizzly is cuddly and wonderful and shows good things. Two sides to the same thing. And when the cub is around the grizzly, it is invincible. And you will not fear because you're so close to the big grizz. You're so close to the daddy grizzly that you don't need to fear. Something is going to happen, and it's not going to be good for the enemy. Because you're in this place. You will not fear the terror of the night. And that is so true. The terror comes by night. You think thoughts in the night that you never think during the day. You know what I mean. Don't even have to say amen. Nor the arrow that flies by day. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. And how we see that around us. So much destruction that wastes that's out there. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. It won't. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you are not the wicked. You are the redeemed. You have been made for a victorious life. Doesn't mean you won't have trouble. Doesn't mean you won't have wind and waves. But you've got somebody in your boat that can calm any storm. Jesus. That will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He's with you all the time. But it's where, will you draw nigh? Will you draw closer than you have been? Will you draw nearer? Because it's a continuing sort of a measurement there. Draw nearer, draw nearer, draw nearer. There is always nearer. There is always nearer. Oh, hallelujah. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. I'm just going to read the rest of it because we're moving on here. He will command his angels regarding you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Hallelujah. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Just a thought there, you know, in the garden, God said to the serpent, you will strike their heel, but they will crush your head. They will crush your head. And it occurred to me that maybe all of this hubbub about concussions in sports is about the devil wanting to know what to do with a crushed head. Let's check that out. He's had a concussion for 2,000 years. That's why he can't go out in the daylight. It just hurts his eyes. Gets a headache.
forget that. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him.
This is a promise from God. If you haven't got that underlined, you need to.
I give you permission to mark up your Bible.
Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. What a promise. I will rescue him and honor him. Language of the prodigal. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a promise from the Almighty. Daniel, could you? Psalm 91 is a go-to psalm. You also may use it. I give you permission this day. And it is so powerful. Whether you're drawing nigh to him or not, just turning to it is turning to him, and you're on that move. You're on that path to him. You're getting closer to him if you're turning to Psalm 91. But there's a place in there where we get closer and closer and closer and closer. And it's so wonderful what he shows us. Hallelujah. He is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can be like the bread of the presence, Lord, and get better in your presence. That whatever would seek to destroy us, we can move past. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in that place, but I have a kind of a need. The end of the month, we have two guys coming from Australia, Adam and Adrian, the guys that wrote the Divinity Code. I don't have a place for them to stay right now. I need a billet for both of them for 5 days at the end of the month. I can give you the exact dates, but if you're going to be around at that time, if you could put up with one or both, they're a delight. We've had them both at our house. And if you have a place that you could do that, you want to take one or both, come and see me after, okay? Would you do that? You will get the benefit and the wonder of that. Pastor Samuel, would you come and have us respond to that?